Man, great to have you. Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids. Let's tell them we love them. The Vances have them today. Awesome. You got them. Delaney, take care of them. That is great. Great, great, great. All right, very good. Well, this weekend, we celebrate Veterans Day. So I want to take just a minute here at the beginning to honor our veterans. And so here's what I'm going to have you do. Rather than having you jump up and stand up and turn around, I'm going to have you raise your hands. So if you served in the United States Air Force, please raise your hand. All right, everybody else not smart enough to get into the Air Force, raise your hand. All right. I'll go through the list. Okay, everyone who served in the United States Army, raise your hand. I happen to serve in both, so I had the privilege and honor of serving in the Air Force and the Army, so that was an awful lot of fun. United States Navy, let's see our Navy guys. Where are our Swabbies? I will not tell any of my Navy jokes until after church. Uncle Sam's misguided children, where are our Marines? There we are. There's our Marines. How many had the opportunity to serve? Maybe you weren't deployed, but you served during wartime. Who served during a declared wartime? Thank you guys for your service. Yeah, thank you for your service. Thank you. Yeah. You know, when you're a veteran, there is a unique bond that ties you with all other veterans. It doesn't really matter what service. You see, we get to make fun of each other, right? You don't, but we do. And trust me, we take every opportunity and take making fun of each other. But there is a bond. There's a brotherhood and a sister. There really is. There's a family connection when you've put on the uniform and you've stood watch and you've sworn to defend the Constitution. And it's hard for guys like us to see our Constitution trampled on when we were willing, though obviously not required, but we're willing to give our lives for that. And so when you pray tomorrow for veterans, and I hope that you will, pray for our country, that our country will remember the unbelievable foundation that is afforded to us because of the Constitution. Pray for that. Pray that we would remember that. And I just want to say to all my brothers and sisters, thank you for your service. We love you, and have a good day tomorrow, not working. Amen? Amen. The word honor is a word that I bet doesn't appear in your regular vocabulary. I would suspect that if you could log in all the words you say throughout the week, honor more than likely would not appear in your lexicon of words and your choices. And there's a reason for that. Because honor at its very root is an other type of word. It's a word that demands us to think about others before ourselves. It demands us to consider something bigger and more important than who we are. Honor is not a silly word. It's not a chic word. It's not a posh word. It'll never be popular on Instagram or Facebook or any social media, because the word in itself speaks to something higher and bigger than us, something that we're to attain to, something we're to strive toward. The biblical concept of honor, which is what we're going to talk about today, is just that kind of word. Last Sunday, we started a series called Don't Throw the Baby Out with the Boxes, getting ready for the Christmas season, because it's really possible that over the next 60 days, which is used to be the Christmas season, now it's 90 days, because they're going to probably start Christmas in August before long. Y'all know that, right? I mean, they're going to probably start it in August, it looks like. But typically 60 days, you know, November, December are considered to be the Christmas season. It's possible that as a good believer that you are, a good Christian that you are, it's possible that you will get pulled and blown off course when it comes to the issue of Christmas. Now, here's what we know. Christmas, the actual date of the Lord's birth probably wasn't the 25th, probably sometime in September. We know that some of the stories that have developed that we follow happened a little bit differently than we celebrate. None of that's the case. None of that's the point. Doesn't matter. What matters is this is the day, December 25th, that the Christian world has set aside to say we are going to celebrate and honor the coming of our Messiah on this day. And the whole Christian world gets that. And so on December 25th, what's happened is the world has taken it over and done some crazy things with it. I ran into one of our church members yesterday morning at breakfast. He had just heard on the radio that the retail industry, are you ready for this? Is predicting that we, the consumers, will spend, are you listening? $1 trillion on goods for Christmas this year. $1 trillion. So I just got crazy and I looked up what advertising dollars were going to be spent. I wanted to know the other end of the business. So I sort of got on the other end and looked what the advertisers were going to spend. Just take the UK alone. United Kingdom, whose gross national product is way smaller than ours, not nearly as wealthy of a country as we are, they're going to spend, their retailers are going to spend just in this 60 days, $4 billion on advertising. $4 billion. The American advertising industry is going to double that, triple that, probably quadruple that. It'll be well $10, $20 billion will be spent in advertising for these 60 days. Now, I would argue with you today that the deepest, most profound Christian can get blown off course pretty easy when that kind of money is shoved at you to get you to change your values, your beliefs, and what you see as important deep in your heart. We are under assault and attack to change our values concerning Christmas. So I just thought it was important that we spend at least a few Sundays prior to Advent, and Advent's coming up in December. Four Sundays in December will be Advent, so we'll be doing Advent starting in December. But I just thought beforehand it might be important to consider what honor is, because here's what I think happens. Okay, here's the bottom line up front. We can take up the offering and go home. All right, here it is. Wayne, I'm going to go ahead and say this to the Facebook of the whole world. Y'all need to pray for Wayne Westbury. I believe in miracles. Here's what honor is. Honor is basically esteeming and valuing God above yourself. It's placing God above yourself. It's rightly saying God's ideas are more important than mine. God's principles are more important than mine. His values are more important than mine. His agenda is more important than mine. His kingdom is more important than mine. Honor is basically saying, God, you're it and I'm not. And there is no confusion. I saw a bumper sticker once that said, I know God and you're not him. We have this a little bit of confusion, don't we? So here's some ideas about biblical honor. Let me share them with you quickly. First of all, honor is to esteem highly. It means that if it comes to me or thee, I'm going to choose thee. So God, for these next 60 days, if the choice is between me and my agenda and what I want, or you, your agenda and what you want, I'm going to choose you. That's what honoring the Lord is going to mean for the next 60 days. Well, it means that every day, frankly. I'm just challenging you for 60 days, right? And so it basically means, God, what you want, what you desire, what you say. Now, see, this is hard. This is hard. I'm going to share with you a verse in a few minutes that I'm going to give you a cue, because if you want to go to sleep, that would be a good time. All right, because it is to the American mind fundamentally offensive. But it's in the Bible. And so we got to look at it. Even the hard stuff that's there, we got to look at and embrace and struggle through and try to figure out. So here it is. Honor means to esteem highly. So we say, God, if it's between me and thee, it's going to be thee. Then next, it means that's our will. Now, in our ways, it means to consider heavily when seeking God's guidance. The Hebrew word's called kabod that we get honor from, and it means it's a weight word. It's a measurement of weight. It means to weigh heavily God's opinion over ours. When you're out seeking advice on a decision you have to make, there are some people who, how many of y'all have a friend that's going to give you advice even if you don't ask? Y'all have those friends, they're just going to give it to you. Hey, this is free, let me give it to you. Don't want it. I don't want it. If it's free, keep it. Give it to the guy down the street. I don't want it. Right? I mean, but you have those friends who are going to give you advice even if you don't ask it. And then there are friends who you highly value what they have to say. You want to know what they, those are the guys you call up and say, hey, I'm thinking about this, I'm processing this, oh, speak into my life. I want it, I want to hear it. And so the another aspect of the word honor is when you're seeking decisions and direction, that what God says weighs more heavily than what other people say. To honor God truly and sometimes in our decisions is to hear all the voices in your community and in your sphere of influence, but then to hear the word of God. And to honor God means to say, I'm going with this rather than going with that because this matters more. That's what it means to honor. You honor. Then it also basically means to honor is the way we walk. Not only our will, not only our ways, but how we walk. And that is to seek to please. You know, our relationship with the Lord is that. It's a relationship. So I wonder how many times you get up in the morning and you say to yourself, you know, I wonder what I can do relationally to please God. I wonder what I can do, how I can live to relationally please God. I wonder what it would be like for the next 60 days if every day you woke up and, you know, you were thinking right, because some days we wake up and we're not thinking right. Anybody with me on that? Right? And I mean, you're just naturally off kilter, right? But you wake up and you're thinking, right, if you just say, Lord, what can I do today to please you? What do I do today to honor you? How do I live my life today, Lord, to please you? Now, the word honor also has a second idea, and this is the idea of a noun. It's a positional place. It's a place of authority. It's a place of power. It's a place of honor. It's because of the position you hold that you honor someone. Not because necessarily, and it's used in a couple different ways. One, it's used earthly. Someone's you give them honor because of their position. Doesn't mean they're always right, but it means they have a position that you should honor, respect, and value. But then there's the idea you honor because they're in a rightfully deserved position. Is where they need to be. Now, the Bible gives us an example of honor, an earthly example of honor, and it's with our moms and dads. Let me read you the first time it happened. It appears about 25 times in the Bible. One of the most given example or command concerning the word honor is dealing with our moms and dads. It actually, the Bible says it's the first promise it's the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your mom and dad, the Bible says your life will be long on the earth. Listen to what Exodus 20:12 says. Now honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This idea is repeated time and time again in Scripture. It means to honor your mom and dad. So see if we can get an earthly picture and then apply it to us and our Heavenly Father, because that's sort of how the Scripture works. So let's think back to your mom and dad. If your mom and dad is still living, you don't have far to think. If you're like me and both of your parents have gone on to be with the Lord, we have to remember a little bit further back. So let's think about this. To honor your mom and dad, that means when mom and dad say something, you esteem, or they have a desire for you or a want for you, if it absolutely can be done, you esteem their will over and above your will. That's what it would mean. Second, it would mean when seeking guidance and all your friends told you one thing and mom and dad told you something else, you would weigh their words more heavily than your friends' words. And then finally, you would seek to please your parents, honor them, please them, walk in a way that pleases them more so than what pleases your friends. So let me be the example today. I did not always do this perfectly. Big surprise. Don't you look at me like that. You didn't do it perfectly either. All right? And I will tell you, on a serious note, the one time I truly dishonored my mother was not taking her advice. Now, it wasn't a back talk, sassy kind of thing. It was just, she gave me some guidance and direction in an area of study that I should pursue, and I told her she didn't know what was going on. I mean, basically, the story was, I entered college, and I was a chemistry nursing double major. That's what I did. And I was going into my third year, and God began to deal with me about the ministry. And Terry, you know, 20-year-old college kid, I know, right? Because I know. So I sit down and I begin to have self-talk. How many of you know the most dangerous thing you can do sometimes is talk to yourself? How about listening to yourself? Does that get dangerous? Right? So I'm sitting there, God's calling me, and I'm a chemistry nursing double major going down that track, blah, blah, blah. Everything's going fine and dandy, all that business. And so God begins to speak to my life and speak to my heart. And I have these wonderful thoughts come to my head. For example, why on earth does a pastor right? Need to be able to give shots or balance equations. And the answer is they don't, right? So the answer is they absolutely don't. And so from that simple thinking, I came to the conclusion that I needed to change my major. Now, I was 3 years into this, and mom and dad were paying the bills. Parents, do you see where this is going? Right? And so I call up mom and dad and say, great news. God has called me to the ministry. Not sure what it is, but pretty sure it means changing my major. To which my mom said, rightly so, you're listening to yourself again, aren't you, Terry? To which I said, well, yes, I am. Thank you very much. And my mom tried to explain to me, because she had wisdom that I didn't have. She had years I didn't have. She had understanding that I didn't have. She tried to explain to me that even though she was sure I would be a fine pastor one day, that the day may come that I need to work a different job. The day may come where I want to work a different job. And my current career path would have ensured that I would have those opportunities regardless of what age I was going to be. And then I, you know, humbly said to her, Billy Graham's retiring one day. Just saying, Mom, the big Graham cracker is going to be cracking out, right? He's gone. And somebody's going to have to step in there. And everybody who's ever been called sort of felt like they were going to be dubbed to be the next somebody. Until you wake up one day and realize God's path for you is your path, not their path, and their path is not your path. Well, see, my mother was smart enough to know that. I wasn't smart enough to listen. And so, not proud of it, but it's true, because this word honor wasn't part of my daily vocabulary, because it wasn't something I fully understood and realized biblically, because I didn't truly realize the implications of what it meant to honor, I still struggle with some of the consequences of that decision today. And so the Lord gives us this earthly picture of honoring our moms and dads. And then he says, that honor is to be directed toward me. So here's what it means. Is it possible you could walk away from the Lord, totally disregard his laws and commandments, and have a reasonably good life? Well, sure it is. People do it every day. There are people all around us that disregard the truth of God, the things of God, the realities of God, and they have a reasonably good life. Now, I would argue it's a half-life. It's a life that's not full of purpose, meaning, and joy. They just don't know it because they've not been introduced to it yet. But once they are, their life changes, and they will never turn around and go back. But it is possible, so let's be really clear, that a person can walk apart from the Lord and have a reasonably happy life. You're looking at me like, that's crazy. No, you know people like that. I mean, you know, that's why they make booze, right? I mean, you know, come on. I mean, there's people that live a fulfilled life seemingly apart from the Lord. But here's the problem. That life comes to a dead end. Always. That life comes to a bad spot. Always. That spot comes to a place of emptiness and hopelessness. Always. And they look back and they say, for all of those years, for all of those Christmases, I've gotten confused. And I threw the baby out with the boxes. And I just thought it was all about the stuff. And I thought life was about the things. And I thought life was about the moment. And now I'm 60 or 65 or I'm 70 or 55, whatever it might be. And my life is empty and I can't push the rewind button. This word honor means to esteem highly, to esteem with ultimate value. Here's how it's put in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says this. Now to the King, talking about God, of eternal life, to the ages immortal, the invisible God, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul, writing to Timothy, wanted to make it clear early on in the letter. I want your attitude right toward God. Honor the Lord God, King, eternal, invisible, most wise God. Honor him forever and ever above all things. Give most credence to him. Give most respect to him. Esteem him highest. Desire his input the most. Seek that relationship the most. Desire highly the most high, eternal, forever, King and God. Desire him. Honor him. If this word honor is going to mean anything to us these 60 days, it begins with putting God in his proper spot. You know, I love bumper stickers. Saw another bumper sticker that made me mad. Every time I see it, I want to ram the car. And the older my truck gets, the more tempting it becomes, right? You know what I mean? It's got enough dents in it anyways, a few more is not going to matter for a good cause, right? But here's the bumper sticker. God is my co-pilot. God is no one's co-pilot. He is not yours. He is not mine. If you invite him to be co-pilot, he denies the invitation. You invite him to sit next to you, he denies the invitation. God is Lord, God, King, eternal. He is no one's co-pilot. I mean, if you had the greatest quarterback, if you were coach of a football team, you had the greatest quarterback of all time, and you benched him for your buddy who was number two, how good of a coach would you be? Not good. You have the Lord God, King of the universe, the King eternal forevermore. You have most high, invisible, loving God who wants to control your life, be in your life, and all it takes is for you to honor him. Esteem his things higher than yours. Esteem his ways higher than yours. Esteem his principles higher than yours. Esteem his opinion higher than yours. 60 days at the holidays pushes that God to the margins. And in place, a God of stuff, perishable things, and debt takes its place. We think the greatest need in our children's life is that new toy, those new clothes, that new bicycle, and when they get older, this one hurts, that new car. Painful, painful. We think their greatest need is that. But you know what we're really doing? We know if we give them that, we get momentary gratification from that because they think us, love us, and kiss us. And so at the end of the day, it's about what we get in the return, the feeling we get in return, and not what they really need. And the offering just went down. But it's true. The God of Christmas, the Christ of Christmas, isn't about what's wrapped up in a box under your tree. The principles, the values are so fundamentally different. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have presents. It's certainly not. If you have the money and want to buy your kids a bunch of presents, have at it, have fun. I mean, hey, invite me over. I'll drink coffee and celebrate with you. I mean, great. It's not wrong. The problem is not what we do. It's what we don't do. We don't include Christ and his values and his passions and his love into the Christmas discussion. That's what's wrong. Speaking of that, over in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, another way that we honor and esteem the Lord, we do so in our thoughts and our minds and our principles, but we also do so with our money. Look at what he says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Honor the Lord with your wealth. This Christmas season, over the next 60 days, you're going to spend a lot of money on people you love, and you should. But I want to ask you, how much do you love the Lord and what are you giving to him? Well, that don't count. Who says it doesn't count? Well, the Bible just says it sort of counts. Well, yeah, but God knows I love them. Oh, well, tell that to your kids on Christmas morning. We gave all your money to the church and for missions, but we love you. Anybody want to bite that one off? Just saying. How about this? How about just every single week and every single month doing what's right according to God, honoring him, valuing him, honoring him, esteeming him, putting him in his right spot, glorifying him to the highest level, making him the greatest part of renown that it can possibly be in your life? Why not place God in that proper spot every single day of your life? So when it comes to Christmas and you're spending money on your kids, which you should, and you're having a good celebration, which you should, honoring God with your first fruits has been a habit so much, it's not even a question. You want to not throw the baby out with the bathwater? You got to get your money right. Here's what the Bible says. This isn't really a talk about money, but just as a side note, here it is. Where your treasure goes, that's where your heart goes. Not vice versa. Vice versa is like, well, I'm going to give my heart to the Lord and I know my wallet will follow. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that where you put your money is where your heart goes. Where your treasure goes, your heart follows. So this Christmas season, if you get to the end of it and you feel that little gnawing emptiness that you always do, if you feel that post-holiday melancholy depression, which many people do, scientifically we know it's true, psychologists know it's true, there's a holiday depression that happens, really true. Okay, so if that holiday depression settles in, if that melancholy settles in, if you feel empty at the end of these 60 days, like maybe you have or I have in the past, maybe it's because you've not honored God in your principles, values, and in your love. You've not honored him with your wealth. Then finally, there's another way we're to honor God. And in Romans 12, verse 10, it says this. Ready? Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. If we want these next 60 days to be unbelievable, love one another with brotherly affection. How do you know that I love you? Well, I can tell you. I can pray for you. When you need me, I can answer the phone. As long as it's not after 8 o'clock, because I go to bed at 8 o'clock, can I get an amen? All right. My wife just showed me how to put my phone on what's it called? Yes. That's what it is. It's do not disturb. I didn't know I had that. So you can't call me after 8 anymore, because I put my phone on do not disturb. I'm kidding. I won't do that. I won't do that. I had no idea I could do that, but that was really clever. So, all right, so I can answer the phone when you call. I could come by your house. I can sit with you and have a cup of coffee and listen. I could grab you in the hallway and hug you, tell you I love you. There's a lot of ways I can show you I love you. And I'm responsible to the Lord to do each of those to you. But you know what? You're responsible to do them too. To each other and to our community. This word honor is a heavy word. It's a big word. And it means to esteem others higher than yourself. It's to look on their good before you look on your own. It's to care about their advancement before you care about your own. It's what it means to honor and to love someone. Scripture says that we're to outwork one another in honor. I'm to get in a fight with you about honoring you more than you honor me. I'm to try to outrun you in loving you more than you love me. I'm to outwork you in showing the kindness of the Lord to you more than you show the kindness of the Lord to me. We're to work hard at this in honoring and loving one another. 60 days is the holiday season, roughly. You're going to be pushed and pulled. Spend a lot of money. $1 trillion will be spent by American consumers this year. $1 trillion. Multiplied hundreds of billions will be spent in advertising. Because 2,000 years ago is where it started. God became flesh to live a perfect life and to redeem sinful humanity and to give us purpose and to secure us of a home in heaven. What does that have to do with the new Fitbit? Nothing. Our lives are confused when we let the culture hijack sacred days and turn them in to a marketing scheme. I pray that as we approach Advent season, that your heart and your life will be more filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit than ever before. That your mind will be more focused on the greatness of God and His glory and His eternality than ever before. I pray that as we approach Advent and we talk about each Sunday the brilliant realities that Christ brought to earth as we look at Advent, that your heart will be set ablaze with thankfulness for God and what He did for us. And here's what I know. If we will always honor Christ, esteem Him most, place Him highest, every Christmas season that comes along, we will look spiritually forward to it because we're able to declare the wonderful life we have in living for Christ every single day. I love you. God loves you. He's got an unbelievable plan for your life. Don't let the secular society suck it from you. Let's remember what Christmas is all about. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together.